So today we have a beautiful reflection, I think, on the great Word of God, the power of the Word of God in our lives. And I think it's something for us. I don't know if you read the New York Times this morning, but it's a big article about a place in St. Louis, Missouri. Did you read that article, any one of you? It's about a huge mega church there, and they spend a huge amount of time in prayer and fasting. Their demand is that if you are a member of that community, you spend 25 hours in prayer every week. Now, I don't know where in the world to get the time, but 25 hours in prayer and one day of fast. I said to myself, you know, wouldn't that be a great requirement for membership at St. Monica's? Folks, are you ready? Are you ready? 25 hours. Anyway, it's a powerful force in that community and is doing quite they're drawing great numbers, but it's through the power of the Word. Their time that they spend in prayer is studying the Word, reflecting on the Word, making sure that Word gets connected in their lives. Now, they've got a pastor that's only about 50. He's a young guy and he's got a lot of energy, so you're stuck with an old man, so that's why you don't have the same juice, I think. But the fact is, it is a living example of how that Word manifests itself even in this world in which we live, and the power of that Word, the grace of that Word. And so we have the reading of the scriptures today from Isaiah, who tries to encourage these people. They're in the great struggle, Babylonian captivity, and they're chagrined, and they're down, and they're out, and they don't feel good about themselves. They've been unfaithful as a people. They have been Yahweh's chosen people. They were given this grand design, this great hope, but somehow they blew that. And so there they are, stuck in this captivity. But Isaiah says to them, God's word is faithful. He will never, never, never let you go. Even though it looks bad, and even though you are in captivity, and even though you have been unfaithful, you have all those things and you can line them up. The fact of the matter is, our God is a faithful God. Our God will never, 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 never let you go. And so that word is like the rain and the snow that comes, gives freshness to the earth, restores and renews us. And so that sacramental gift of the word of God is manifest even in the captivity of the Jews. And of course, we know the story, don't we? The Jews came out of captivity. They sent a pagan literally to come into that land and save them, brought them out of captivity, and brought them back into their home, Israel. The gospel today is a very clear parable story of that word, the seed that falls on ground, and everyone gets excited, but then it's gone because it doesn't take deep root, or it falls on a hard soil and never actually takes root, so we just walk away from it. Doesn't bother us. Or that word, that seed, falls in good ground. So it's not just about the power of the word, it's about our soil, about our reception of the word. So it isn't just God's word. God is faithful. God is powerful. God will remain with us. But what do we do? What is our reception of that word? That's the tug. That's the pull. That's the great struggle that we all have. So next Sunday, I saw Dr. Nathaniel Roybal over in the corner there. He leads a group that reflect together on a book. And we take a book every couple of months. And the book this month is the book entitled A Grateful Heart. Wilkie Au, A-U, and you can get this on Amazon.com, or I think on Tuesday there will be some. We had only a few copies today and they were sold out, so they don't have them in the bookstore, but I think on Tuesday they will bring some, but Amazon certainly will get this to you. Au is his name, and I'll put it on my Twitter actually tonight, so you can look on the Twitter and find the reference. But Wilkie Au's book, The Grateful Heart, is an extraordinary, extraordinary reflection. He's going to come October 1st here to St. Monica's and spend a day with us. But ever before he gets here, we would like to use this as our read for this year. So let's read a couple little thoughts from it first, and let me just find the little story that I just love for you. You got a minute? Just take me a second here. Where is that? Page 134. This is a beautiful story. It's really right out of this gospel today. Here it is. In the turbulent first century, a rabbi once traveled in a strange country where mysteries still dwelt. He had taken with him three possessions. I love this. An ass, a rooster, and a lamp. How about that? And had stopped at night in a village where he hoped to find some lodging. When the people there drove him out, he was forced to spend the night in a forest nearby. But Rabbi Akiba bore all pains with ease, being heard always to say, and this is the message, all that God does is done well. We don't believe that. But that was his message, and he does believe it. All that God does is done well. So he found a tree, having been thrown out of the village. They wouldn't accept him because, I guess, of the ass and whatever else he had there, the rooster. So he found a tree under which to stop and lit his lamp, prepared to study the Torah briefly before going to sleep. A fierce wind suddenly blew out the flame, leaving him with no choice but to go to sleep. Later that night, wild animals came through and chased away his rooster. And still later that night, thieves passed by and took his ass. Yet in each case, Rabbi Akiba simply responded by saying, all that God has done is done well. And so the next morning he returned to the village where he had stopped the night before and got thrown out, only to learn that the enemy soldiers had come by night and they killed every single person in that village while they were asleep. Had he been permitted to stay there, he would have been dead. And then he learned that the raiding army had traveled through the same part of the forest where he had slept that night. If they had seen the light of the lamp, if the rooster had crowed, or if the ass had brayed, again, he would have been found and would have been killed. How did Rabbi Akiba respond? He simply responded as he always did. All that God does is done well. And so I think that, I don't want to spend a long time tonight because this is summer mode and you're all having a great time. But it just strikes me. That word of God, if we really believe it, if we really listen to it, even when we have found, horrendous mistakes in our life, even when we're so anxious about things that are brewing that we're not sure about and really are concerned about or finding it difficult to manage because we're uncertain, uncertain times, whatever that is in your life, if you really believe in that word, then all that really is asked and expected of us is just right here and now, this moment, doing your best to respond to that word faithfully and believing that all that God does, and yes, we have everything to do with it, and God has everything to do with it, but all that God does is done well. So when we wake up in the morning, we can wake up not with the chagrin or a fear and our anxiety. We can wake up with confidence. We can wake up with a spirit of gratitude. We can wake up with a spirit of hope. Not because of us, not because of our pastor, not because of our future, but because of the faithfulness of our God who we today are attempting to do our best to live in harmony and in peace. Does that make sense? It's so simple. And I don't know why I stray from it. You know, I'm off this week. Last week we were at Yale, Dallas and I and a couple of others. We had an extraordinary weekend. I'm going to talk about that, but not tonight. But I went away after that week, and it was a great week of study and reflection, and we were seven groups, and we were really sharing our ministry and our life together, and it was terrific. Then I took a week vacation. I haven't done it for a good while. And I went, and I met a young priest in Ketchikan. And I wanted to see Ketchikan because a very good friend of mine, Father Dennis O'Neill, who had spent a long time there, and it was always a mystery to me because he begged Cardinal Manning not to come back to Los Angeles, but the Cardinal brought him back because he loved Ketchikan. He loved Alaska. He loved what he was doing, and it was a mystery to me. And so I got the chance, and I went right to the church there when we got off the ship, and I went into this beautiful church there in Ketchikan, and I met a young man, Steve Gallagher. He's married. He is a priest, 2 months, just ordained, and he's on fire. I mean, I said, my God, this guy's got terrific. Young guy, about 60 years of age, just ordained, you know, and had been a police officer in Washington, and he was full of fire and full of confidence, and he was so excited about his ministry, and he was sharing all kinds with me. And so he took me in his truck, and out we went into the hinterlands. We're looking for bear, and oh my God, all kinds of stuff. And it struck me as I was talking to him. You know, he has a school, and the school's down to 80 kids, and he's upset about that. And I try to build his confidence in that and tell him to get out in that yard every day. And there's a high school right next door. It's a public high school, but you know, the field is ripe. He could go into that school and make a difference because he's a young, vibrant fellow. Anyway, we ended the conversation by saying this. Kim is the person, is Dallas in the church, and Steve is Father Tim, and the old pastor is now in San Diego for a while taking care of his parents. But they want to swap parishes for a couple of weeks, so we're going to go do that. I'm going to go to Ketchikan and spend a couple of weeks with Dallas and with Father Tim. They don't know it yet, but anyway, we're going to... And what's so attractive is they have maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred families, but the word of God is in their lives. This young man is full of God's word. Now, he's just ordained, and I know he's excited, and you know, all that stuff moves along. But the fact is, it just strikes me that we are given so much. And we have that word. And if we could just live in less in fear, less in anxiety, more in gratitude. And this is a tremendous book if you have struggled with that part of your life about gratitude. And to see that all that God does, all that he does well in our life. And so I hope, like that old Isaiah the prophet today, I'm encouraging you and I together to follow that great word this week, to live in a new confidence, and to believe in the power and the gift of that holy word in our lives.